Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Train Your Brain to Up Your Game with Coach Mandy. I'm happy to have you joining me here today on this Good Friday and Passover season that we've come into. So I hope for many of you, you have a day off and you're enjoying some downtime as we slide into spring here, which for many of us, at least those of us living in New England, we've had a little bit of taste of great spring weather, followed by waking up to a couple inches of snow on the ground Wednesday morning. So it's been an interesting spring, and I hope for those of you out there, you're having a good spring and enjoying the weather when we are getting it, because Lord knows we had a pretty rough winter. So again, thank you for joining me. I'm Mandy Rosniak, and my show is Train Your Brain to Up Your Game with Coach Mandy. And I'm here on the first and third Friday at noon of each month, and I get into various topics that focus around sports, but it's not all about just the sports. It's a lot of it's about just all the intangibles that go into being a good athlete and a good person. So we get into a lot of different types of topics, and every once in a while I shift gears and go into some other areas in regards to life transition and those kinds of things. So that's a little bit of what you can be looking forward to when you're here joining me on my show. Just to tell you a little bit about myself, I work with athletes primarily, and I'm doing that because I used to coach in college. I was a college softball coach, and I really wanted to find a way to be able to work with athletes on a little bit more deeper level, go beyond the skills and drills of sports. So one of the things I do is I work with athletes to help them maximize their potential both on and off the field by really helping them connect to how their thoughts, emotions, and actions affect their performance and all areas of their life. We look at a number of different components besides the skill sets. We look at their mental, their emotional, physical, social, spiritual, environmental, and philosophical components that all make up who we are as the person and the player. And then together what we look to do is I work with you so you can ignite that inner greatness so you can live and play fearless, focused, free. If you'd like some more information or you'd like to contact me, you can do that. You can go to my website, which is coachmandy.com, and that's M-A-N-D-Y, and that's www.coachmandy.com. And my email address is mandy@coachmandy. I am on Facebook at Inner Winning Coaching, and I am also on Twitter at Life Coach Mandy. My business name is Inner Winning Coaching, just to clarify there, but I do go by Coach Mandy and was fortunate enough to have my website be Coach Mandy. So those are just some of the ways that you can reach me. And if you would like to call in today during today's show, ask a question or give a comment, you can do so by calling in at 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. And I do hope to get somebody calling in with a question or comment, because I always love interacting with the people out there and just listening to hear the different comments and feedback people have, because always some good insight with those who are out there and living the life that we all want to live. So today what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be looking a little bit at about leadership. And part of why I wanted to do this was because you hear about leaders and leadership all the time and how we have to be, you know, we don't quite have the leaders that we used to have and things like that. But I wanted to get into leadership in regards to sports, but also for athletes and how important it is for them to be leaders, not just because of what they do on the field, but also with how it helps them be the best they can be off the field as well. So we're going to be looking at what it takes to be the best player you can be by being the best leader you can be, to lead yourself, which is really important, and then others, both on and off the field. We're going to be looking at the components and disciplines needed to make this happen. And then I'll also have some tips and some daily to-dos to be a good leader. So one of the things, as I just mentioned, that's, I think, really, really important when you talk about leadership is, you know, I looked in the dictionary, you know, went online, what's the definition of leader or leadership? And to me, it was just too plain and simple from the standpoint of it was just about leading, do things, and make them, you know, do some things that maybe they wouldn't do for themselves. To me, it was just such a vague definition that I didn't really care for it. And it was the person who leads or commands a group, organization, or company. But it's also, to me, about leading yourself. So what does being a leader or leadership really mean? And I just felt it was interesting that those definitions are so vague. So to me, being a leader is giving your best, working hard, doing what is right, being honest, trustworthy, and being authentic. I feel like you have to have some core components about your personality, about who you are, about how you're showing up. You have to be connected to your values before you're going to be able to be a leader. And again, going back to the definition was the person who leads or commands a group, organization, or company. But to me, what does that really mean? What do you have to become that person, to be that person who leads? And what are the intangibles that go along with that? I also feel there's a really big component in regard to, there's also an energy to leadership from a standpoint of, do you have that kind of energy that is going to draw people to you, or are they going to push people away? Because obviously that's very, very important in regards to the aspects of leadership. Because if you have the kind of energy that are going to push people away, it's going to be very, very hard to get them to follow you or have them do some things that, you know, if you're trying to push them to have them follow and do that. So that's a really important aspect there as well. Now, in relation to sports, you hear about leaders all the time. I'm living here in Connecticut. Obviously, I'm a big University of Connecticut fan, UConn fan, so I'm very happy to have recently witnessed the men's and women's basketball team winning the national championships. And what was really, really interesting is one of the things that was stated was one of the reasons that both teams were able to do what they did is because of their leaders and the leadership that they had within the teams. And for the men, Shabazz Napier was given a lot of the credit for that leadership. And so much of that was because he not only played well and pushed himself, but he had the confidence and he had the basically the authenticity to be able to push his teammates. And that's why when I sort of gave you my personal definition of leadership, being authentic is so important about that because, again, he worked so hard and he drove himself so hard that when you then ask somebody to do the same thing or you then push somebody to do the same thing, it's very, very hard to be able to look at them and be like, no, I'm not going to do it because they're already leading that piece by example. They're already doing that push. So that's why I think authenticity is so important because if you aren't walking the talk, then when you say something to somebody, they're not going to value what it is that you're saying because they're going to say, well, yeah, it's good for you to say that, but it's not something that you do. And then on the women's side, you had the two seniors, Stephanie Dolson and Bria Hartley, who had won previous national championships. And actually, that was one thing about Shabazz Napier, having been there previously and knowing what it took to get there. But with the two of them as well, a lot of leading by example, hard work, and doing all those things that they would do first before they would ever ask their teammates to do it. So those are just a couple of examples of some things recently that have shown up that just really shows what the payoff can be when you do have that leadership and some of those intangibles. And so going into that and speaking about the intangibles, I think some of the things that when you look at being a leader that you want to have as personal intangibles are right off the bat, I think you've got to be, as I've already said, I think you've got to be authentic. Talked about that a little bit already. You've got to be internally motivated. You've got to have that intrinsic motivation quality. And what I mean by that is basically it's that inner drive It's that inner push that you have that is what helps you get up every day to work hard, to do what you have to do, to do the practices, do the schoolwork, do all the different things that have to get done on a daily basis. And again, to me, intrinsic motivation is really, really important because it comes from within. I feel you have to also be really, really connected to your values. You have to know what you stand for, what makes you tick, why you do what it is that you do. I feel you also have to have a very good base in regards to being able to overcome adversity. In our daily lives, we are going to be faced with adversity all the time. And in sports, it's going to show up in regards to different things, like if you play an outdoor sport, and we're experiencing this up here in New England, you play an outdoor sport, and like I said, on one day it's 70 degrees, and literally 2 days later there's snow on the ground. You've got to be able to overcome environmental factors. You've got to be able to overcome, field conditions, things of that nature. And so adversity is something that you have to be able to really be able to handle well, because when you are able to handle that adversity, what that's going to do is that's going to show that you don't get rattled when things are going to be tough or things are going to be hard. And that's going to be something that other people are going to look towards and are going to notice. Another aspect that I think is really, really important is, and this is a little bit different, it might sound like the same, but to me, dealing with pressure. I feel that overcoming adversity and dealing with pressure are definitely two different components. Dealing with pressure is more so of maybe what's going on in the moment. Adversity are those things that are going to come at us in regards to you've got an umpire whose strike zone is maybe a little smaller than you want it to be. It's going to be having the bus breakdown and you get to a game, later than normal, so you don't have as much warm-up time. It's going to be finding out that, you've lost your cleats and now you have to wear sneakers in the game instead of your cleats. That's kind of, to me, that's what's overcoming adversity. Dealing with pressure, on the other hand, is, for example, the UConn women going into the final game with this undefeated season on their shoulders and obviously all expectations be that they're going to win the game. It's going to be being up at bat with two outs in the bottom of the seventh with the tying run on third base. It's going to be having your very first start as a pitcher and, maybe your grandmother is seeing you play for the very first time. All those kinds of things. And if you're fortunate enough to play at a level where maybe your games are on TV, it's knowing that you're going to be on TV and all these people are going to be watching you. So those are some of the differences between overcoming adversity and dealing with pressure. And then I think one of the last things that's really, really, or two last components that are really, really important are focus and confidence. Focus is that piece that allows you to really be in the moment and really stay, pardon me, just use the word, stay really focused and present of what's going on at that moment in time. It's not drifting off and thinking about, what you did two or three plays ago or two or three games ago. It's about what's happening right there before you so that you're very present, you're able to understand the situation that's before you, and you're able to be able to stay in understanding what's being called and asked upon you in that time. And then with confidence, that's the biggie. That's the one that people seem to have the most fluctuations with, because confidence is that intangible that when we're playing really, really well and things are going really, really well for us, we seem to a lot of times have a high level of confidence. And I suppose that's where you could get into the whole, is it the chicken or the egg theory? Are you confident because you're playing well and things are going well, or are you playing well and things are going well because you're confident? And I think that's been sort of one of those back and forth conversations and discussions that have gone on for a long, long time. What is it about confidence that sometimes we have it and sometimes we lose it? Even the best of the athletes and the Michael Jordans out there and LeBron James and Lisa Fernandez's and all those high level athletes who have always been at the, you know, epitome of their best have those moments when they have their confidence and have those moments when that confidence shifts away. So again, it becomes that case of, do we play well because we're confident, or are we confident because we're playing well? But again, I think that's a really, really good and big important component as for a leader, because when you have and you display and you play with confidence, that's going to give the people around you that same sense of, yeah, we can do this. So just really recapping very quickly, some of the personal intangibles that I feel are really, really important in regards to being a good leader for yourself, because that's absolutely where it has to start, which will then move you towards being able to lead others, are you have to be authentic, you have to know your values, you have to have intrinsic motivation, so be internally motivated, focused, be able to overcome adversity, be good at dealing with pressure, and have that confidence. And to me, if you have those components all, if all those components are clicking, then absolutely without a hand, you know, without a doubt, hands down, people are going to see you as a leader and they are going to follow you. But most importantly, it's going to be what you're going to get out of yourself. That's really, really important. So I just want to remind everyone, if they would like to call in with a question or comment, the number is 646-716-9397. And I just want to take a quick moment here to let you know about some of the upcoming shows we have here on the Life Coach Radio Network, and then also a couple of our sister stations. So on the Life Coach Radio Network, coming up on Tuesday, April 22nd at noon, we have Fun to Fortunes Entrepreneur Startup with Coach Jeff. On Thursday, April 24th at noon, we have Walk Your Talk with Leanne. On Tuesday, April 29th at noon, we have New You City Chat. On the Life Coach Chat channel, coming up on Monday, April 21st at 9 p.m., is Believe with Life Coach Angelique Joseph. And on the other sister station, International Life Coach Radio, on Sunday, April 21st at 1 p.m., we have the Zenberry Life of Holistic Health Coach, Emma Gallant. So hopefully you can catch one of those episodes. And if you ever miss an episode or you'd like to listen to my episode again or any of my previous episodes or any of the ones I just mentioned here, if you're not able to be on there live, they are all available for download and also are available on iTunes. So you can either re-listen again or you can listen for the first time if you happen to be having missed the initial show. So again, as we're talking about leadership and looking at some of the factors in regards to being a good leader and what it takes, you know, some of the factors, again, that are really, really important in regards to leadership are, as I mentioned before, are sort of looking at some of the components that show up in our daily lives. That when you think about being an athlete, I don't think people really focus or understand well enough in regards to so many people concentrate on the skill sets. People understand that the mental game is important, that it's good to have a strong mindset. But I'm not sure that enough is understood in regards to taking that step back as to, well, then what does that mean? How do you get there? And one of the ways of how you can get there and how you is to look at all the different types of components that can show up in our lives, such as spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, social, environmental, and also philosophy, and as well our skills and our mechanics. So those are some areas that when, as an athlete, this is also going to be really important in regards to being a good leader, because those are areas in your life that you have to make sure you have a good understanding about, you have a good base for, and that you're trying to, as best you can, sort of maintain a sense of balance. So here are some examples in regards to some of the components and what you can do as an athlete to sort of, or just to sort of make the connection as to what they mean and what you can be looking for. I'm not going to go into great detail. I'm just going to give a quick example for each one and then move on to some other things. But in regards to if you were looking at spiritual. And first of all, understand that spiritual is not about religion. Spiritual is about how you show up. It's about your values. It's about your motivation. And it's about what's making you tick in regards to how and why you're doing the things you're doing. And about being connected to what you're doing. So spiritual, a lot of times, I think people automatically think it's religious, but it's not about religion in regards to how we mean it in these terms. So when you're looking at spiritual, you want to always be connected to and understanding why do you play the game and why do you love the game. When you look at mental, mental is about staying focused and trying to be as not distracted, undistracted as possible. So again, it's about focus and lack of distraction. You want to be really dialed into what it is you're doing. When you're looking at emotional components, you have to understand that if your emotions get too high or get too low, that's going to throw you out of rhythm. That's going to throw you off your game, pardon the pun. It's about staying calm and, again, in a lot of ways, staying focused in regards to what's happening. It's that expression in regards to, you know, never get too high, never get too low. It's when you win a game, you know, act like you've been there before, and when you lose a game, realize it's not going to be the last time that that's ever going to happen, or the fact that you're never going to, you know, you're not going to ever win again. So you really understanding your emotional connection to what it is you're doing. Physical is about staying loose, staying relaxed, not allowing some of these other components to take over your, the fact that you're stressed in relation to your musculature, meaning that we tend to physically tighten up when we can be under stress. So it's about staying relaxed, staying loose, and realizing that all the training you have done helps prepare you for what you're about to do. Then we have looking at the social component. Social component is very important, especially at the lower levels in regards to, saying, high school and younger. I definitely feel in college you have it too, and social is important all the way up through the ranks, but I feel you really see the social component showing up a lot in the younger ages because there's going to be a lot of dynamics that are going to come around the way kids or the way the athletes and everybody relates to each other and interrelates to each other. And obviously that's very, very important at all levels. But like I said, you'll see it more at the younger levels because it's going to be almost as much about liking the people you're playing with as it is being about what it is you're going to be doing. So it's remembering to enjoy the people that you're with and having fun with that aspect. In regards to environmental, taking time to really, really see what's around you. Taking a moment to notice, like, the things that are the beauty around you. Say if you're playing golf and you're out on one of these gorgeous golf courses, which there's so many out there, do you stop and take a moment and really, really, you know, revel in the fact that, wow, I'm in just a really beautiful place here? Or if you're out on the softball field and, you know, the sky is blue and the sun is shining and there's clouds in the sky and really having a gratitude for the environmental aspect of what you're having the opportunity to play in. Then there's also the philosophical aspect of why you're doing it. You know, are you out there doing it just because, or you have a reason? Is there a purpose for what you're trying to do? Are you looking to be the best player you can be in the long term? Or are you just about, you know, only, oh, I only care about my batting average, or I only, you know, care whether we win or lose. It's or really, I only care if we win. It's understanding that there's a big picture to everything we do. And then, obviously, of course, there's the skills and mechanics. But in that, you want to, again, look beyond just the fact that, you know, it's about a, you know, shooting percentage. It's about wins, more than wins and losses. It's about better than your batting average. You want to look beyond just the aspect of the outcome because the outcome will take care of itself if you stay focused on the little things. If you do everything you can, you still can't always control the outcome. So in your skills and mechanics, you know, look beyond the actual outcome aspect of everything you're doing. Don't just focus on, like I said, the batting averages, shooting percentage, the wins and losses. So those are just some of the factors that are really, really important to keep in mind in regards to how you show up and how you lead yourself with all those different components. And you could see that if any of those components get out of whack, or they get offline, or they're out of balance, or you don't really have a good understanding or a good a mastery of those aspects, then that's going to affect how you're showing up, how you're performing, which a lot of times may affect then how you are able to lead yourself and then also lead others. And so now looking at some aspects in regards to, okay, so what can I do to sort of, you know, be a better me, be a better leader, be this, you know, how can I get to these different components so that they show up, you know, so I can be this kind of, you know, this person that I'm looking to be. But understand, first of all, you know, leadership opportunities are around us all the time. And we have to realize and sort of be open to being able to see where they are and how they can show up for us. But first, just want to read this quote to you that is from Helen Keller that really kind of shows that, you know, the critical leadership moments that kind of show up for us on a regular basis that many times we maybe overlook because they're it's a simple aspect versus, you know, we get to try to make things too complicated. So here it is from Helen Keller, this quote, "I long to accomplish great and noble tasks, but it is my chief duty to accomplish humble tasks as though they were great and noble. The world is moved along not only by the mighty shoves of its heroes, but also by the aggregate of the tiny pushes of each honest worker." So to me, what she's saying there is it's about the little things. It's the tiny pushes of leadership that happen more frequently and have the greatest impact over time. It's those little things that we do each and every day or in any given moment that are going to really help define who we are and how we are as a leader, again, for not only ourselves, but if we ever want to lead other people. So here are some tips, I guess would be the best way to put it. Here are some tips or some daily to-dos for that you can do for yourself to help you become that leader that you may want to be. First and foremost, you have to be the hardest worker at practice today and every day. Absolutely without fail, one of the quickest ways you can impact your team is with your own work ethic, which you sort of mentioned a little bit in the beginning. It's about how you show up every day and on a regular basis, and are you consistent with that? If you choose to be one of those hardest workers on your team today and every day, it sets a tone for how you want to show up, and then it's going to help set a tone for how you want your teammates to show up. And it's also a really, really quick way to enhance your leadership credibility with your teammates and your coaches, and that goes back again to the walking your talk and that place of being from that a sense of authenticity. Another one, tip number two, is be a spark of energy and enthusiasm. Many times, especially when you see the high school and college kids, they come out of a, you know, maybe class or they've had maybe a rough day on the academic side, and they're not quite feeling it today. But you got to understand, you got to separate that from when you get onto the field. So you have to be a spark of energy and enthusiasm every day. You have a passion for your sport or else you shouldn't be playing it. Because if you're not passionate about what you're doing, no matter what it is, then you shouldn't be doing it. And when you show up with that spark of energy and enthusiasm, it's going to be contagious energy. It's going to be that piece that is going to help your teammates feed off of you. Because we all know that we need a pick-me-up every once in a while when things are going maybe a little rough, and today we aren't quite feeling it, that when you have that person who shows up and they're very energetic, we can feed off of that. So be that person that be that person for yourself and your teammates, because I guarantee you there's going to be that day you're going to need it and somebody will pick up the slack and get it done for you. And you want to, tip number three, model mental toughness. Mental toughness is a lot of here what we're talking about, but You want to model mental toughness because your teammates are going to look at you in regards to what you do when you're under pressure, which, as I talked before, was one of the different components was dealing with pressure. So you want to be mentally tough. Bounce back quickly after an error to show your teammates how you respond to those negative situations. Maintain that poise and optimism despite making a mistake. Realize mistakes are going to happen, but how you react to that is going to be critical. The other day I was telling my team as we were getting ready to play a game, I said it's not the action that we're looking at. It's the reaction to the action that you just did. And, of course, the high school kids are looking at me like, what are you talking about? And I basically was explaining to them, it's the reaction to the play you've just made. If you bobble the ball, it's that next action that you take that's going to make or break the difference. If you bobble that ball and you drop your head or you don't hustle after it, now maybe they get an extra base. But if you go after it as hard as you can, maybe you get the lead runner. Maybe you get the back runner. There's something else that can always happen, but it's the reaction to the initial action that's really going to make or break your success. Number four, connect with a teammate today. Leadership is all about the different relationships that you're going to connect with your different teammates. So often you see, especially again in youth sport, you see kids warming up with the same kids day in and day out. They're friends. It's the people that they hang out with the most. And obviously that's understandable because you want to, you know, you want to be with your friends or maybe you're comfortable with that person. But the more you can connect with all the different people on your team, the better that's going to be. It's going to build and strengthen the relationships you have with each and every teammate. And then, again, it's going to, you know, help them see that you care about them. You know, find out about what's going on, you know, with their challenges, what are some of their goals. You know, help them see that you have also an interest in them being their best as well. And that's going to help push them. That relationship building you do each day is going to pay off down the road. Tip number five, compliment a teammate today. We all love compliments, right? So make sure that you compliment a teammate. And, you know, tell them when they've done something good. They've made a hustling play or they've, you know, worked really hard in the weight room, you know, or they noticed, you've noticed that they've gotten better at doing a skill set that you know they've been working on really, really hard. Tip number six is now that you've complimented them, now you also want to challenge a teammate. Challenge at least one of your teammates to help them get better. Talk to them just before, you know, you're about to do a drill and say, hey, I'm going to push you really, really hard today. I'm going to see how far, you know, what your range is. How deep can you really shoot this ball? You know, positively push them and yourself to make the most out of that workout. One of the things I see that happens all too often is kids will play it safe. They don't want to push their teammate too hard because they don't want them to make a mistake. And in practice, it's not a mistake thing. It's about understanding and finding what your limits are. The only way you're going to know how far you can go is by pushing through and pushing harder in a practice so that you can find where those limits are and know how far you can go. So game day, you have a better understanding and knowing of what your skill sets are going to be able to do for you. So go out there and challenge a teammate when you're working with them. Tip number six, support a teammate. The odds are at least one of your teammates are going to be struggling with something. So look around. Find out. Is one of your teammates look a little bit down than normal? Or maybe you've heard, you know, something through the grapevine that somebody's, got a sick family member or they had a test come back that didn't go quite as well as they thought. Make sure that your teammates know that you're there for them and that they have your support. Tip number eight, and this is probably one of the hardest things to do as a teammate, because you have to really, really be able to be walking your own, you know, walking your talk and this authenticity piece I've already talked about. But tip number eight is constructively confront negativity, pessimism, and laziness. Now, a lot of times players don't want to do that with other players because I think there's a fear factor. I think there's a sense of they don't want to show up their other. But understanding that as a leader, you have to have the courage to constructively confront any negativity or any laziness that's going on or that crops up on your team that will happen from time to time. Because when you stand back and you stay on the sidelines, eventually that's going to creep in and take over your team. And it's going to actually dissolve more of what it is you're trying to really accomplish than just sort of looking the other way. You want to try to help them refocus on what it is they're trying to accomplish and what it is and why they're there. And, you know, and those are the kinds of things, this might be the type of thing where, you know, you may want to talk to the coach about or things like that, but, you know, just making sure you're positively pushing your teammates and like I said, try to correct if there's any negativity, pessimism, or laziness. Because if you leave it unchecked, these problems are going to really, really grow, divide the team, and before you know it, the team chemistry is going to be totally blown out of the water. Tip number 9, build and bond your team today. Team building, very, very important, team chemistry. All these different things we're talking about will also help the team chemistry. And there's a natural ebb and flow that goes on throughout the course of the season. But every once in a while, you know, do something a little bit outside of the normal. Have something ready so that you can, you know, let your reserves and support staff know how much you appreciate them. Share that sense of gratitude. You know, stay connected and current with each of, you know, the people that maybe you're not closest to. And again, it's just about coming up with some ideas so that you guys all stay connected. Tip number 10, check in with your coach today. Remember, when you're on a team, there's 15 of you and there may be only one coach. So sometimes players, I think, misread the interactions that they have with their coach, thinking, oh, maybe coach doesn't like me, or what did I do? Why is coach mad at me? But understand, the coach has a lot of stuff that's going on in their minds because they're thinking about 15 different things, and there's 15 of you, and so they might be a little distracted with what's going on. So every once in a while, go in and check in with your coach and say, hey, coach, what's going on? You know, how's it going? Anything I can help out with today or get things started and things to that nature. Tip number 11. Remind your team of how if you work hard today, it's going to lead to the goals of tomorrow. So never taking a play off, never taking a day off, realizing that how hard you work today will pay off tomorrow. And that if you slack off today, that'll show up tomorrow. So really just understand, again, that comes back to walking the talk, being authentic, and really, really pushing your teammates to work hard today and every day, because that's going to lead to the goals that you're trying to set and accomplish for yourself. And then the last one, tip number 12, is always represent yourself and your team with class and pride. To me, there's nothing greater that you can do than to always walk with a sense of pride and respect for yourself. You've got to respect yourself. You've got to have a sense of responsibility for yourself in regards to doing your best to always show up and give your best. You want to be representing your class, your team, your school with that pride and realizing that there is a bigger picture to just you. You are one component, but you are a big component to the bigger picture. So if you show up every day with pride in class, then that's going to feed your teammates are going to feed off of that and realize that, you know, you are being a natural leader just by respecting yourself, respecting your teammates, respecting your school, all those kinds of things. And, you know, do the little things. Hold the door open for somebody. Sit in the front row of class. Actively engage in what's going on. You know, those kinds of things. So those are all some great tips in regards to how you can be a leader on a daily basis. So just very quickly, be the hardest worker at practice. Be a spark and energy of enthusiasm. Model mental toughness. Connect with a teammate. Compliment a teammate, challenge a teammate, support a teammate, constructively confront any negativity or pessimism or laziness, build and bond your team, do different activities that will build and bond that team, check in with your coach, remind your team how today's work leads to tomorrow's goals, and then always represent yourself and your team with class and pride. So hopefully those will be some tips that you can take and do for yourself to help you in regards to, like I said, leading yourself and leading others. So as we're already coming up on the end of the show here today is a little bit of a shortened show, so I want to thank you for joining me, and again, I want to tell you about some upcoming shows we have here. in a moment. But I'd like to thank you for listening today and learning about leadership, how you can lead yourself, best ways, you know, some aspects that you need to have for that success formula towards leading yourself, what some of the personal intangibles are that you need to be a good leader for yourself. And as I keep saying that, leader for yourself, I mean that because it all starts with you. You're never going to be able to lead anyone else or others if you are not leading yourself first. So that's really, really important. And the biggest components, again, I feel are just, you know, living with authenticity, connecting to your values, and realizing that those are the pieces that if you do those couple of things, then a lot of these other aspects are just going to sort of fall into place, and you will start to become that natural leader. You'll start to become that person that shows up in a way that your energy is something that other people want to emulate and are going to want to follow and have a piece of. So again, thank you. And here are some additional shows coming up on our Life Coach Radio Network and our sister stations. Coming up on Tuesday, April 22nd, is Fund of Fortunes Entrepreneur Startup with Coach Jeff at noon. Thursday, April 24th at noon is Walk Your Talk with Leanne. Tuesday, April 29th at noon is New You City Chat. Then on the Life Coach Chat channel, on Monday, April 21st at 9 p.m., we have Believe with Life Coach Angelique Joseph. And on our sister station, International Life Coach Radio Network, on Sunday, April 21st at 1 p.m. is the Zenberry Life with Holistic Health Coach Emma Gallant. Again, how you can reach me or get more information on the work I do or just look at some of the stuff I've done, you can go to my website. My company name is Inner Winning Coaching, but my website is www.coachmandy.com. I am also on Facebook at Inner Winning Coaching. You can follow me on Twitter at Life Coach Mandy, and my email address is Mandy@LifeCoachMandy. I'm sorry, my email address is Mandy@CoachMandy.com. Geez, there's all these different things we have to keep track of now, and I can't even keep track of my own email. So my email address is Mandy@CoachMandy.com. And I want to thank you again for joining me here today on this Good Friday, and hope all of you who are celebrating Easter and Passover enjoy this little bit of time off. And for the rest of you, hope you have some bit of a relaxing weekend and can enjoy the nicer weather that is definitely coming. I will be on again May 2nd at noon, and I'm really looking forward to some of the upcoming shows I'm setting up for you all. I'm working on getting a number of different athletes and coaches and things that all have various experiences and levels of participation. Some people who are doing the work I'm doing, they're doing coaching now with athletes, but have all had their own unique experiences as to how they got to where they are. And then with talking with some other people in regards to just how sports and athletics has been a positive influence and been a really, really big mainstay within their life. So like I said, I'm really looking forward to some of the upcoming shows that we'll be having. But I will be on again May 2nd at noon, and I look forward to having you join me. And until then, have a good weekend, have a good couple of weeks, and go out there and enjoy life. Take care now.